And away we go here. It is Wednesday, September the 18th, 2019, 12 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the early show here. Scott Spears along with you for the ride today, and we have had tremendous success this week when it has come to just opening up the phone lines and talking about things in Marion, and that has been a lot of fun, and hopefully we will be able to continue in that vein today. Now, I do have a programming note I want to mention, that Charlie Evers this morning from 10:10 until 12 noon, 10:10 a.m. till 12 p.m., his guests will be Jeff Ruth and Terry Klein. Now, I assume they'll be talking about the fly-in, but when Charlie and Jeff get together, I'm sure there's a lot of broadcasting history in Marion that will also be talked about during that particular time frame. So that will be something to listen to, the Charlie Evers Show, this morning, 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon, Terry Klein and Jeff Ruth are the guests. Also, A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble will air today, 12:10 to 1 p.m., and then Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond will air 4:10 until 5 p.m. So a lot going on today here on WWGH Radio. Now, I'm going to start, before we get into our phone calls, because I do want to start the phone calls back up and talk a little bit about Marion history here, I want to tell you about two experiences this morning. Well, three, really, because one is just a little bit of information. Do you know how many people this time of year I hear talking about Indian summer? I guess it's because we're heading into fall. The first day of fall is Saturday, September 21st, and everybody starts talking about, okay, Indian summer. We're going to have an Indian summer. Now, my question is, does anybody really know what Indian summer is? It's not from the internet, even though I guess I probably could have gotten the information there. Does anybody actually know what Indian summer is? There is actually something called Indian summer, and it's not just warm days in the fall. Something has to happen for it to be Indian summer. So I'm going to leave that up to you for just a few minutes before I actually tell you the answer. It's not a trivia question, but I want to know if the audience out there really knows what Indian summer means. Because, yes, it does mean warm weather in the fall, but does anybody really know what Indian summer means? Something has to happen for you to call it Indian summer. Does anybody know what that is? Give me a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What is Indian summer? All the years of life I have lived, I never knew the answer to this until yesterday. So, we'll impart that information here in just a second. Now, the other thing I want to talk about, and I'll do this quickly because I know you guys are tired of hearing me talk about the drive-thru at the restaurant that I go to every morning to get my beverage. But, you see, this morning, it wasn't just me who was obviously ticked off, because here's what happened. Wednesday morning, the truck comes. I don't know what time they come, but they come enough to block one of the lanes off to where I go and get this beverage at on Wednesday morning. And it happens every Wednesday morning about that time, between 7 and 8 o'clock. So this morning the truck was there, and that was no shock, but the good news was there were only three cars in the one line that they had open. So I thought, okay, I can swing this. I'm early this morning. This will be perfectly fine. So I get in the line, and the first car that's up ordering whatever they're ordering, it was a lady behind the wheel. Don't know her. Can't say anything about her. But she was behind the wheel, and she was ordering something. Now, I don't know what she was ordering, but I'll tell you this. It took at least 10 minutes for her to order it, which made the two cars in between myself and this lady very unhappy. And I think one of the things that made them unhappy was you could see her, because obviously she had her window down and she was ordering, and she was putting lipstick on at one point, and she was curling her hair, and she was talking to somebody in the passenger seat. I don't know what she was doing in there. She might have been making her own breakfast, which begs the question, why was she at this restaurant? But she acted as if, you know, when somebody starts to twirl their hair and put on lipstick, you know, they must have all the time in the world. They're not in a hurry. And my theory always has been, if you have all the time in the world, why don't you go inside? Because I thought drive-thrus in all business were for expedience and quickness. But I think somewhere along the line, we have lost this. People, the new generation, does not understand that a drive-thru is for expedience and quickness, and not to twirl your hair or put on lipstick at 7:15 in the morning. I don't know, maybe she was trying to look presentable for the person at the window who she was going to give her money to. I don't know. But this is what happened this morning. And the funny thing about it was, the cars started to pile up behind me, because in 10 minutes, if the traffic is not moving, if that line is not moving, the cars are getting restless because they're piling up. So I had the two cars in front of me that had been there the entire time who were getting very angry. I could tell that this woman was taking so long to place her order. And then the car, I look behind me, and now they're out the driveway. They're out into the street trying to get through this particular line. And it just cheesed people off. That's a good term. It cheesed people off to the point to where when I finally got through the line, they had made the lady pull into her own parking space and just kind of, be there. Because I think at that point, that's all they wanted from her. They wanted her to wait for whatever she ordered and not hang up the line anymore. So that happened this morning. Now, the other thing is, as we had moved to the new studio, the computer that we normally play things on, if we have audio clips or something we want to play things on, has not been hooked up to the soundboard to where we could do that. We just haven't hooked it up yet. And this morning, I was trying to do that before we started the show, and I do have it hooked up, I believe, correctly. But I ran out of time before I could check the setting to see if it was working properly. So we are not going to have audio this first hour, because I had a couple things I wanted to play that I thought might have been of interest to you. But during the 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock break, I guess it would be, I'm going to try to look at this again and see if I can figure out why this is not working. Because I'm looking at the soundboard right now. Oh, you know what? I think I know why it's not working. There's a button that should have been pushed here that has not been pushed. Now, how did that button get unpushed? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. This is real live radio here this morning, because I am going to see if this works now. You're going to get the full test, and maybe you will get to hear the audio that I wanted you to hear this morning, which has to do with Marian history. All right, let's see here. I'm going to try to get the gerbil into the... What's the gerbil? The gerbil wheel? I'm going to get the gerbil into the gerbil wheel here and see if this is actually going to work this morning. Bear with me here. All right, here we go. Here's the test. It's like testing to see if men are on the moon.
Building of the Scioto Ordnance Plant.
It's working, so that was the problem. I took a look, and the button was not pushed correctly. All right. So now we will have audio here this morning that I wanted to play for you. Okay. Now, so nobody knows what Indian Summer is. I can't believe that. None of our listening audience, which I know is very smart, knows what Indian Summer is or how you get to an Indian Summer. All right, give me a call, 740-383-9944. Does anybody know how you get an Indian summer. Does anybody even have a guess? Or would you like to comment on my trials and tribulations again through the drive-through line this morning? Always a mess. Or would anybody like to say anything in regard to the conversations we've been having the last couple days here on the air, which I have enjoyed quite a bit, about, well, really what we've been talking about is the old Tecumseh plan in Marion and plants that preceded Tecumseh, like the Susquehanna, depends on how you say it, I guess, Susquehanna Silk Mill, or Universal Freezer, was that what it was called? Universal Cooler? I didn't write any of that down yesterday. I'm going to have to get a notebook like Charlie and start writing this stuff down, because it's important stuff to remember. And somehow, I don't know, I didn't write it down, but Universal Freezer, Universal Coolant, something like that. And then we also learned that Whirlpool was preceded by an auto company that made auto parts in that building. So if anybody has anything to add to that particular conversation from yesterday, feel free to call in. I ran into somebody last night who said they enjoyed that conversation, and they had worked at Tecumseh at one point in the 1970s. So that's always good to hear from people who worked in those factories. Or if you worked in any factory in Marion in the last 70 years, let us know what your experience was like. 740-383-9944. And this all started out of a conversation on Monday about Tecumseh and the riots that they had and things that led to the closing of the Tecumseh plan in the 1980s. Or I guess they didn't close, they just left. They closed in Marion, but they left and went somewhere else and made their air compressors. So if anybody has anything more to say about that, give me a call, 740-383-9944. We've also talked about bringing Tradio back on this station, and we're taking suggestions about that, and we started with that on Monday as well. Do people want to hear it again? Do you think people will call in? Do you think word of mouth will work? Because we don't want to start doing the show and then nobody calls in. That would be the worst, the not good thing. Let's take the call. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott.
Yes.
Indian summer.
Yes.
You have a freeze, a cold snap first, and then when the weather warms up, that is why it is called Indian summer.
That's right. I did not know that until yesterday, that for it to be Indian summer, the first frost has to have occurred. You're exactly right. Hey, well, I thank you for calling. Thank you. Bye-bye. Yes, that is what actually makes Indian summer, and I never knew that. It's not just warm days in the fall. What actually makes an Indian summer is there has to have been a frost, and once there is a frost, then if you have warm weather in fall, that's Indian summer. So, I don't think we've had a frost yet. We've had some chilly nights, but we have not had a frost. So, we could not have an Indian summer yet, because we have not had a frost. But, after Saturday, after September 21st, if we have a frost, and then we continue to have warm weather in the afternoons, that is what makes an Indian summer. Did anybody know that? Well, obviously, Bob, our faithful listener there, he knew that, which is good. But that's how you get an Indian summer. Why it's called Indian summer, I have no idea. And probably before too long, it's going to be called Native American summer, because just like the Washington Redskins and the Cleveland Indians and Chief Wahoo, we change these things now for whatever reason. Now, well, I guess we don't, to be honest with you. The only one I think that's fallen by the wayside is Chief Wahoo. I mean, we still call them the Indians. We still call them the Redskins in football. I don't know. That's never changed, I guess. But Indian summer, one day, mark my words, I might be dead, but it will be called Native American summer at one particular point, because we are a politically correct culture now. That's the way it goes. Did you know about Indian summer? Let me know. Let's start the conversation. We've had such great conversations this week. I hope they continue this morning. 740-383-9944. Also, anything anybody has to say about all of those businesses that closed. Oh, you know what I can do now that we actually have sound? One of the things I wanted to do yesterday is because we got permission from Channel 4 in Columbus to actually play this Tecumseh story as it aired back in, I think it was 1984 when the plant closed. Okay, let me see if I can find it here. This aired on Channel 4 WCMH back in the early 1980s. This is a story on Tecumseh. Now, you can find this story on YouTube. It's about 3 minutes long. Now, I'm going to play this for you. Doug Adair is the first voice you will hear. Doug Adair and Mona Scott did the story. Now, this is the Tecumseh story, 1984. If you want to see the pictures, makes it a little more dramatic than what we have here on radio. But this is the story as it aired back in 1984 on WCMH, courtesy of WCMH.
Bright day for Columbus.
I'm Doug Adair. Thousands of new jobs on the horizon here. And just north of us in Delaware County, unemployment has fallen to less than 7%. But just north of Delaware in Marion County, where the jobless rate is already more than twice as high.
Tecumseh Products is closing down in the city of Marion. 600 people will lose their jobs sometime this year. 800 others who'd already been laid off.
The company says that it's because of all of the damage that was caused by last summer's violent strike there and also the competition in the refrigeration industry.
And Mike Brown is just back from Marion tonight and says it's too bad because the city was just coming back.
That's right, Mona. It is very ironic. You look at some of the success that Marion has had just recently. Examples, Eaton, American Malleable, Marion Power Shovel, all corporations, companies in Marion, which hire thousands of people who had hundreds of layoffs, and they're starting to bring them back in now. It seems that recovery is finally on its way back to Marion. Then today, the Tecumseh announcement is official, and it's setting the city and hundreds of its residents back quite a ways.
It's a difficult thing to know you're going to lose your job, even tougher when you don't know when.
Everybody's very unhappy right now. I think everybody's on edge. They really don't know what to expect.
700 Tecumseh workers found out in a letter that their plant will close sometime this year. Those on layoff still will find out the same way you're hearing it tonight. The reasons? Too much foreign competition and too many headaches from a strike this summer which caused, says the company, uncontrollable violence and extensive damage. The total of those damages exceeded $100,000. According to the letter, this plant in Marion and the people who work inside are quote-unquote expendable. Well, the city of Marion can't expend anyone, and it is likely going to cause an increase in the unemployment rate as well as additional financial problems for the city itself.
Fewer jobs means fewer taxpayers in a city which has been struggling for more than a year just to make ends meet. Thousands of industrial workers are still on layoff, and unemployment benefits are no longer much help.
Those people run out of unemployment. We've got people who work here that run out of employment quite a long ago. They're not counted anymore. So the official rate, not no official, the unofficial rate would be closer to 30%.
What will you do now?
Probably look for a job somewhere else.
Will that be tough to do in Marion?
Yeah.
Of course, it might not have been so tough if Honda had chosen to build its plant in Marion, but of course that decision has been made and it probably won't end up in Marion. So it's going to stay hard on the unemployed. It's also going to stay tough on the city because voters refused again for the second time to vote in a tax increase. For all the good signs, Doug and Mona, it appears that the light at the end of Marion's tunnel is still tonight quite dim.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. That's too bad. Governor Celeste is...
Well, there we go. That story was from WCMH 1984 on the closure of Tecumseh. Now, isn't it funny? Back in 1984, what is that now? 25 years ago? 25 years ago, when that happened, they were still talking about Marion needing to be on the comeback. Marion was on the comeback. And the unemployment rate and Eaton had come in and things like that. Does that story trigger anything in anybody's mind out there? Give me a call, 740-383-9944. I think that's fascinating. Marion's on the comeback. Marion was on the comeback. We have been saying that for so long. I think we're fine. I don't really know that we particularly are not on the comeback. I think we've came back, and I think we're okay. I think everything's just fine. It's a funny thing, though, when you listen to that as well, because they talk about the Honda plant, which we all know now ended up in Marysville, about how, at one point, it was supposed to come to Marion. Now, does anybody know why Honda chose not to come to Marion? You have to go back to the 1984-1983 time frame to really understand that. But does anybody remember why they chose Marysville instead of Marion? I mean, obviously, a lot of people from Marion now go to Marysville to work at Honda. Maybe a couple people listening to this show this morning might be on their way to Marysville to work at the Honda plant. But any thoughts on that? Give me a ring. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Certainly an interesting topic and a little piece of history there when it comes to Marion County and the history of Tecumseh and the history of the Marion industry. Okay. Also, yesterday, as I say, we were talking about the possible return of Tradio, and should we do it? Should we not do it? Would it be a good idea? How are we going to get the word out? How many times a week should we do it? If we do bring it back, because we've got to have people calling in. Now, yesterday we talked about a lot of word of mouth. Would word of mouth work? What do you think? Do you think there would be enough to fill that 45-minute period of a Tradio program, maybe once or twice a week to start out? And if so, would people like to hear it? And do you think we could get there? Because this week, we're taking the survey in regard to that. 740-383-9944. Do you think it's a good idea to bring back the Tradio program on this station? And if we do, is there a way to get the word out and let people know it's being done? It's, you know, people say flyers, and you can do flyers, but there are so many people, 65,000 people in Marion County that hear this show. It's hard to have flyers let people know that a show like that is starting, and it's also kind of difficult. Would word of mouth work? I think word of mouth works for this show. I don't know. What do you think? 740-383-9944 on a possible return to Tradio. Now, yesterday, one thing we started to talk about was Crystal Lake Amusement Park and how people still have such fond memories of Crystal Lake Amusement Park, which was out on Route 4. They had a roller coaster called the Zip, and all kinds of interesting things. Now, is there anybody out there who has a story or a memory of Crystal Lake Amusement Park, or of their parents or grandparents, aunts, uncles, acquaintances, talking about their time at Crystal Lake Amusement Park? Now, this would have been opened probably in the 40s, 50s. I don't know when it closed. Does anybody know when the actual amusement park part of it closed, the swimming pool and all that? I'm not sure when that closed. Now, I do know that the roller rink, which was also at the amusement park, it stayed open for several years after Crystal Lake had closed down. Matter of fact, the roller rink burned down. That's what eventually brought an end to it, and I don't think that happened until the 1970s. But does anybody have a memory of the Crystal Lake Amusement Park that was here in Marion? Or does anybody out there remember going to that roller rink, which was a very interesting place and thing here in Marion? Go ahead, caller.
This is Martha Dallas-Manasi.
Martha, how are you?
I danced or skated up there all my life. When I was 6 years old, my mom took me up there I learned the waltz.
Really?
I learned the 14th step. I danced with a partner. I skated, I mean. I went to the Roll Arena and Crystal Lake. Crystal Lake was before the Roll Arena.
So the Roll Arena came after Crystal Lake?
Yes, it was after Crystal. Crystal Lake was first.
Oh, well, that's...
I loved to go up North Main Street and Mom take me into Crystal Lake.
Now, Martha, what was Crystal Lake like? I mean, they had a swimming pool. They had a roller coaster. Did you ever ride the roller coaster?
Yes, I did.
Now, what was it like?
Oh, it was the first time I had so much fun.
Now, Martha, you say you used to have dances or dance at the Crystal Lake roller rink?
I skated.
Oh, skated at the roller rink.
Yes.
Now, were you...
Mom bought me a pair of roller skates, white ones. And when I outgrew them, I kept skating forever.
So you were a pretty good skater, Martha.
Yes, I was.
Oh, my.
I skated until I was married at 19.
How about that? So how many people used to show up to this roller rink, Martha?
Oh, full.
It was full.
It was full of people. You could hardly find room to skate. There were so many people. It was a popular place to go.
Wow. Well, Martha, I thank you for calling in and sharing your memories. Thank you.
I'm going to call Charlie and Jeff.
Yep. They will be on later on this morning, 10 to noon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Martha. The one and only Queen of Dance in Marion, Ohio, Martha Dous-Manassi, 76 years. She's been in business here in Marion, and it's a pleasure to have her call in anytime she would like. The one and only Queen of Dance. Now, does anybody else have memories of that roller arena? Roller rink, roller arena, whatever you want to call it, which I guess came after the amusement park. Now, also, does anybody have memories of the amusement park? Now, obviously, Martha had memories of it, so there are people out there who can still remember going to that Crystal Lake amusement park, riding that roller coaster, which was known as the Zip. Do you have any memories or remembrances of Crystal Lake Amusement Park or the Crystal Lake Roller Rink, which were all North Main Street, Route 4, here in, or I guess maybe is that considered 423? Was Crystal Lake considered to be on 423 or Route 4? I think probably Route 4. You know, those roads in there kind of get strange, and I think they've changed over time. You know, for years, there was a story, and I think it really did happen. Charlie would know more about this than I would. But the elephant that knocked down the Red Apple restaurant, I think it was called the Red Apple restaurant. Apparently, there used to be a restaurant right there on North Main Street next to the railroad tracks. And some circus group was coming through Marion, and somehow the elephant got loose because the circus was traveling on the train cars, and the elephant got loose for some reason and somehow just trampled the Red Apple restaurant. And I guess they never rebuilt. Did anybody ever eat at the Red Apple, which I guess would have been located on North Main Street next to the railroad tracks? Or does anybody remember the day that the elephant got loose and trampled the Red Apple restaurant? And is that even really the truth? Because obviously I was not alive at that time. Did an elephant really trample this restaurant, the Red Apple restaurant? Let me know. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So we've got Crystal Lake Amusement Park. That's one of the things we're talking about this morning. We're talking about the Crystal Lake Roller Rink. And we're talking about the Red Apple restaurant, which was allegedly trampled by an elephant, which we don't really know if that's true or not. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
I heard that video. Did you say that was back in? I missed the. I cut out the. I'm out of the listening area now. Traveling. Did you say it was 1984?
1984, Tecumseh left.
Wow, 35 years ago. I can't believe that.
Is that 35 years? Yep, 35 years ago.
Wow. I can't believe that.
Well, I was interested. It was interesting to me to hear them talk about Marion being on the comeback, which, you know, it's a funny thing to say because I don't think we've ever needed to be on the comeback because I think we're here like any other city and we're doing fine. But they brought that up a lot up in that video, and also the fact that Honda chose not to come here and chose to go to Marysville.
Well, at least you have a sub plant like the gas fee, USY.
Well, that took a number of years later, though.
Yeah, a number of years later. But, I mean, like, I forgot about Eaton now, the Eaton company. Forgot about that company. That was a popular company. When did people, for the people that work at?
I don't know how many people worked at Eaton, but I think it employed a fair amount.
But I did not realize it was thousands and thousands of people when, a thousand whatever people that lost their jobs when the Tecumseh left?
Well, I can't remember if in that video they said thousands. I think they said something like 60 were left there or something like that.
I'm cutting it out when I was listening,
there were thousands of dollars worth of damage.
Oh, okay, dude, that's good. I'm cutting it out when I'm leaving the listening area, so that's probably what I couldn't understand. Okay, so it was thousands of dollars. Oh, okay, something about the fixing all up, that's why they left?
I think they just did not want to deal with any more strikes after that because the last one that happened in June of 83 got a little violent,
yeah.
And windows were busted, and it cost $1,000 to make the repairs, and I think they just didn't want to deal with it anymore.
It'd be interesting if my grandma was still alive. I would ask her some more questions.
I don't know what era she worked there, but I don't think she was there at the end.
No, I don't think she was there at the end, but it'd be very interesting to find out what the actual job that she did, you know what I mean?
Well, a lot of people called in yesterday, and most people have said that it was a nice place to work, that they paid a good wage, that it was okay to work there, that it was not a bad place to work.
Right, so they need compressors for the walk-in pool, that's what I understood, right?
Yeah, they were a compressor plant, and apparently before they went there, that plant had been held by Universal Cooler, and then before that it was the Susquehanna Silk Mill.
Oh, interesting. Huh.
So history galore here this morning.
So have we figured out how many plants that really left Marion over the years? I mean, obviously, if you go back through, we have a lot of money that was in Marion years and years ago. I mean, we used to see a lot of these. Like I said, I'm not trying to beat the horn or anything, or beat the drum, but we have a lot of these Victoria big houses in Marion. And I understand some of them are doctors and all that, but we have a lot of back in President Hardy days. I think we were kind of a rich county at one time or another.
Well, you know, I in the era of President Harding, I think we were doing okay. The industrialization of this area, I think, hit a big time push in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And then by the 70s, 80s, and 90s, I think, is when it started to go south. But you know what? I can't say that because here we are in 2019, and you've got USY, which can't get enough employees. You've got Whirlpool, which is the number one dryer maker in the world that is hiring people in direct now. You've got, I know there are other plants, and I just don't know their names, that are trying to get people hired in here in Marion. So I know Cardington Utaka is always hiring a lot of people. I know what used to be Pillsbury, I don't know what it's called now, they're always trying to find people. Anderson Windows is always trying to find people here in Marion. So there are probably about the same amount of factories here now that there were then, and the jobs are there.
You know, we used to have, Cricker Road, places like that. Now, and like I said, I have not checked into the places, you know, the wages competitive. You know, I think that's why a lot of people travel to Delaware or Columbus, because the cost of living, I mean, if they don't keep up with the cost of living or whatever, people have to travel outside of the county because it's not being competitive with the wages.
You're
going to make a lot more money in Delaware than you are there.
Yeah, but one of the problems with that is you're also going to spend a lot more money in gasoline. But it's interesting to me that Marysville, an example is Marysville. Now, Honda's over in Marysville, but they can't get enough people either. They're constantly trying to hire people at Honda, and they hire them from Marion. So it's not like we're the only city that's having trouble getting our plant jobs filled, because even Honda, the great Honda, which pays probably better than any plant that I can think of, starting wage, they can't get the people hired.
And one of what the number one reason is on that, I wonder, is the background check or?
Well, I don't know. People say that, but I don't know. You know, there's got to be a reason that they've never been able to fill these jobs, and maybe people just don't want to work in that industry. You know, there are a lot of people who say, I would never want to work in a factory. I would rather do customer service. I would rather do other types of jobs. And they just don't care to do that type of work.
Well, I mean, Honda does have customer service as well.
I don't think those are the jobs they're looking for.
Well, no, they're probably looking for the plant, you're right. But I don't know. It'd be very interesting. As the years goes on, to find out how everything's going to end up. Hopefully, I mean, the technology nowadays, because I think a lot of these places, or probably going to oddity, you know, the robots doing a lot of things. I know there for a while. USY, they're robots. They do a lot of the labor work. Even the place I work at has a robot that does a lot of that.
Well, I was talking with the superintendent of Marion City Schools, and he and I both agreed that there was a push back in the late 90s where they were telling people that they had to go to college or they had to go to a tech school because all these factory jobs were going to be gone by the time they hit the workforce. Well, clearly that did not happen. Because here we are 20 years later, and the factory jobs are still there. A matter of fact, they're so there to a degree that we can't fill them.
Well, absolutely. I don't think you'll ever be able to replace them. Somebody has to make sure the robot is functioning correctly. Because, you know, it's whatever the human person puts in the robot to make it work. So it's absolutely never going to be 100% removed of a human, because the robot has to be... I mean, I got a robot sweeper, and she sure acts up. So, and she gets hung up, or she'll die. I have to put her on her, you know what I mean? So, she's not 100% accurate. Let me put it that way.
Well, I think there are certain... I think there are certain things like that are kind of like novelties. And I think that... I don't know. I just think that there are novelty things that come along. Like, obviously, the microwave was a big innovation, and that's not a novelty because that's become something almost everybody has in their home now. But there are other things that have came around that are electronic that are just kind of novelties that people really... Every home doesn't have one.
Absolutely.
So right. I think they just come and go.
Yeah, they do, and... You know, the microwave is part of it, because that's why I use the microwave just about everything. So that was like the best invention that ever was.
It's
I never used my stove.
Maybe somebody out there listening can tell us why they have such trouble filling these positions. We had a caller earlier on in the week who said that it was partly due to the fact that people are overworked. They get them in there and they want to work them every day of the week.
Absolutely. I believe it's a lot of the companies, you know, it's because it's such a demand, I think, because, you know, they're, like, so behind on products, because, especially the Hondas. I mean, Hondas are, like, I mean, I don't know what their sales are like this year, but Honda is a popular car. They hold their value, and, you know, so is Toyota. I mean, if we brought a Toyota factory here, Marion or Delaware or Marionville or whatever, it would be the same. I think it would be the same demand. I think they will just be working 7 days a week, and it's just, I think it's because they, you know, there's such a high demand on vehicles, because they, you know, a lot of people want a Honda, you know, because they hold their value, and they run it forever, you know what I mean?
I guess we will see how this all turns out.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting how years come, when I'm about 70 years old, 80 years old, or whatever, to look back and see how everything goes.
Well, I don't know if you'll make it, but I'll make sure to leave a note on the tombstone.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Letting you know how it all turned out.
Oh, nice.
Or I'll bring it to the home.
Oh, is that right?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good.
All right, have fun.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later.
All right, well, it's an interesting question brought up there by Sean. Is that the reason a lot of these places cannot find enough people to hire, these factory jobs? USY, Whirlpool, Honda, the places that we naturally talk about. Is it because they're overworked? Too many hours? Too much overtime? What do you think? 740-383-9944. And remember, if we're on the line with somebody else and the phone's ringing busy, just keep calling in until you get through, and we'll get you up on the air, because we want to hear your opinions. That's what this show is, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m., a conversation, kind of a town hall of the air. But there is a lot to talk about this morning, because we're talking about Crystal Lake Amusement Park. Does anybody have memories of that? Or is that too far gone? Is that too far back in the history to where people don't remember that at all? Do people remember the Crystal Lake Roller Rink? I think it was called the Crystal Lake Roller Rink. Does anybody remember that? Does anybody remember the story of the elephant that allegedly got loose from the train car and trampled the Red Apple restaurant? And did anybody eat in the Marion Red Apple restaurant? Does anybody remember that place? Did it have good food? Was it a popular place? Who ran it? What do you know about this Red Apple restaurant that would have been on North Main Street up by the railroad track somewhere? Can you imagine the day if this story about the elephant's true, that it got loose and trampled this restaurant? Can you imagine the people who were in there eating that day that the elephant showed up and put the place out of its misery? Holy Moses. Go ahead, caller.
How you doing, Scott?
Good. Good.
Crystal Lake.
Yes.
I used to go out there and skate. That was a very popular place. It was always full. It was open every day of the week at the time we went. We paid like a dime to get in the door, and a dime for a roller skate. And we skated from 7 until 10. And they held dances there on occasion. Not all the time, but there were dances there. And it was there until they closed, and then it turned into Bargain City. And then Bargain City moved up there on North Main at the Forks. But, yeah, it was real popular back then.
Yeah, I remember it was very popular. Yeah. Hey, well, I thank you for calling.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. It was an interesting place. I know that for sure. Now, does anybody else have those memories of the Crystal Lake Amusement Park or the Crystal Lake Roller Rink? Or this story of the Red Apple Restaurant being trampled by an elephant? Does anybody remember that? Was that a true event? Did that really happen? Do we have any background information on that anybody would like to share? You know, that would have had to have happened sometime after the 40s, because I know that the radio station was already opened, and it opened December 23rd, 1940. So the Red Apple was opened after the radio station was open. So this elephant trampling would have had to have happened in the 40s or 50s, maybe even the 60s. I don't know. Does anybody remember that? Does anybody remember the story? So there are people out there who could be listening who might remember this. 740-383-9944. Now, in the vein of food, the other morning we talked about food and maybe places that should come to Marion and so on and so forth. But certainly, probably the most famous restaurant ever to be in Marion was the Isley Shop. Now, does anybody remember the growth of the Isley Shops here in Marion? Which I think the last Isley Shop ended up going out of business sometime in the mid-90s. They were out on Mount Vernon Avenue is where they finally ended up. But there used to be Isley Shops downtown. Now, does anybody have memories of the Isley Shop? What would you go into the Isley Shop and order? What did they have that was very good? I mean, obviously ice cream. But what did they have as far as food that would be good? 740-383-9944. And what was it about the Isley ice cream that was so good that everybody wanted the Isley Shop ice cream? Does anybody know or have an opinion? You might have just tasted the ice cream back in those days and thought, boy, this is good ice cream. Now, it seems to me that somebody told me a long time ago that when the Isley Shop was downtown, and I have no idea where it was located downtown. Does anybody know where it was located downtown? Is the building still there where the Isley Shop was downtown? Fill me in on that. 740-383-9944. But that they had a kind of like a counter where you could sit and eat. Now, I don't know if the Isley Shop counter was a part of another business or if there was just a counter in the Isley Shop. I don't really know how that worked. But I guess a lot of people used to go to the Isley Shop and sit at this counter and, you know, have your ice cream and have your food. But I don't know what kind of food the Isley Shop served in those days. So, those are the questions on the table right now. 740-383-9944, 58 minutes past the hour. Does anybody remember the Isley Shop when it was downtown? What kind of food did they have there? What kind of desserts did they have there? Does anybody have any memories of the Red Apple Restaurant, which was located on North Main Street somewhere near the railroad tracks? Does anybody remember hearing or knowing about the elephant trampling of the Red Apple Restaurant? Memories of Crystal Lake Amusement Park or the Crystal Lake Roller Rink, which I do believe was destroyed by fire sometime in the 1970s. Does anybody have any of these memories on their mind this morning, this Wednesday morning? Don't forget Jeff Ruth and Terry Klein coming up this morning on the Charlie Evers Show. You're not going to want to miss that. For love nor money. Go ahead, caller.
Jeff.
Yes.
The Isley Shop downtown was on North Prospect Street. It's set between the tracks. The building is still there. My dad worked over at Joel Mary Milling Company, and we would go over there when we pick him up. We'd go over there. They didn't have much of a counter in there. It was mainly just to sell the ice cream, and they had a thing going. If you bought a Klondike and found a pink Klondike and turned it back and took it back to them, they would give you a free one.
A pink Klondike.
Right, and they were pink. And you took it back over and then got a free one.
Huh. Well, hey, we got to go to break, but maybe we'll talk some more about that after the break. Thanks for calling. Very interesting. Does anybody remember the pink Klondikes getting a free Klondike? How about that? We're going to come back after the break. Stay tuned. 9:15. More talk about food, Isley's, Red Apple, the history of Marion food in about 10 minutes.
But sometimes it's very legitimate.
Final question I have for you, Helen, is probably the question I've been asked the most since I did the interview with you back in October of 2000. Why did you finally decide to speak in